Welcome to the Mom Friends Podcast, where we'll chat about all things motherhood with real life experts and moms. We're your hosts,
Rachel
and Kara Ann. So grab a coffee and throw in some headphones and come relate, laugh, and vent with your two new mom friends. Today is my friend Leah Barto. Leah is a gym owner, a birth doula. Actually, wasn't it doula week? So happy doula week to you. Yeah. Birth Fit program director and a mom to two. She's an expert on all things relating to pregnancy, postpartum, and movement, as well as birth. She was also my real life doula. Hey, Leah, thanks for being here today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And you have your precious little, 3 week old now, Ruby next to you.
Yes, 3 weeks and 2 days ish.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah, I hear her little squeals. It's so cute.
Yeah, she's in that kind of asleep, kind of wanting to wake up.
Yeah. So cute. We'll see. Well, before we dive in, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the birth space and how you became a doula? Even you were into this before you even had your first child, Kai. So how did you get into this?
Yeah. So it's really interesting because I've always known that I wanted to have babies and, I've never been, I didn't have younger siblings and I've never been someone who's obsessed with children or other babies, but it's just something I always knew that I wanted for me. And I think that's kind of what led me to working for Birth Fit is I went to a coach's seminar in 2016 or 17. And I think because I was a coach, so we own a gym and I coach women and I've always loved to work with women and we see families and, it's kind of that layer of I was coaching people, but just going based off of this is what I think is appropriate. I didn't really know anything. And so kind of taking that and then my desire for wanting children. And I just kind of always knew, I saw Birth Fit and was like, hey, I've always trained competitively. I've always had guidance and coaches telling me what to do. And it just made sense to me that if I was going to do it, I was like, cool, there's a whole program for pregnancy. That's something I'm really interested in, even though babies were just not on my radar at all. So yeah, it was just really interesting that I went to a coach's seminar that weekend and it blew my mind and kind of one of those things where you learn things and you're like, the world needs to know this and I need to be the one to get it to them. And then I think marrying my desire for coaching with my new passion of childbirth was just kind of, someone mentioned doula training and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So long story short, really, it just kind of all happened really quickly in that year. And I think, it was the coach in me that loves, higher intense or unexpected situations. Like I thrive well in that. It's the competitor in me, but also the coach and the facilitator for guidance and support in me. And I think the whole doula thing was kind of marrying those things from my toolbox to other people.
That's really cool. I've never really thought about it like that in the sense of a doula is a birth coach, in a sense. I've never really thought about it from a quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, quote coaching perspective, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah. And I know I've always felt that way. I think I've heard some doulas don't like it referred to as that, but for me, it felt like coaching just in another setting.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've always been one to do well in situations that maybe others get in their fight or flight or, yeah. It's just overwhelming pause. And I've always kind of been that one that's thrives in that. So I think just the excitement of birth, the unknowns, and you don't know where it's going to take you. And every birth is different. I think that just genuinely continues to keep me interested in doing that work.
Yeah. That's super cool. And I think, you said, maybe some people don't like to think of it as a birth coach per se, but if you think of coaching in the sense of what is a coach, someone to support you, someone to, keep their calm when you're in the arena, it does make sense. So
totally.
I like that analogy. But so having now two of your own births and seeing, you've probably attended I'm sure hundreds of births probably. What would you say, is there anything that was surprising to you when you had your when you had Kai, your first baby, like what was different about the postpartum experience, I guess, that you didn't expect, like even having like the experience that you had, like as a doula and being at so many births? Like,
yeah. So I will say that every birth that I attended before ever having a baby solidified my wants and desires for how I wanted birth to be more and more. So I saw things I didn't love. I saw things that I was like, have to have that at my birth. Actually, the very first birth I ever attended was with the midwife I've used for both of my births now. But I always say like she ruined it for me. It was the most beautiful birth. It was a birth center birth. And I remember just being like, she needs to be my midwife and I want to have this experience. And, but you know, I've seen everything. I've seen out of hospital, in hospital, unmedicated, medicated, you know, quote unquote textbook versus, you know, all the things thrown on the table that we never planned. And, so I think just in relation to birth, having those experiences helped me really solidify what I wanted for myself and kind of manifest that or put it out there, and do what I could to make it happen.
Yeah.
As far as postpartum, I think like the biggest surprise is you just don't know how you are going to react. You don't know, you know, am I going to have the whole postpartum anxiety, postpartum blues? Am I going to feel good? And then also like the physical aspect of it, like how am I going to recover? How's my body going to feel being an athlete my whole life and able to train? It's like, you know, you expect that your body's just going to like, you know, like, oh, just had a baby, but I feel better because I'm fit and I've done this my whole life versus like, right. You have a baby and you're like, oh wow, like everything's different. So I think it was just, you know, you have an expectation of how you think you're going to be postpartum and then actually getting there. And it's like, no matter how much preparation you do, nothing prepares you for the real life of like this baby's here.
Yeah.
And, like almost the level of support that you need.
Yeah.
So from your partner, your husband, from what you need or don't need from your family. Like I learned that really quickly the first time, had a lot of boundaries, things where I was like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want anybody coming over. I don't want other people helping. To like having to shift that and be like, we need help. We need my mother-in-law to come over and cook. We need somebody to come hold the baby so I can take a shower. And last thing I'll mention, and like one of the biggest differences last time to this time is with the first baby, my husband took a week off from work and was kind of able to like transition back in. And this time he took a whole month off because we knew with two, like
it's
a whole different ball game. So yeah, I think it's just, you don't know, regardless of whose birth you attend or whose postpartum you see, like what that's going to be like for you, and almost being willing and able to shift your plan as you need and not be like so fixed on what you think that you are going to want.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like having, I think I like was so focused on prepping for like birth and just like my pregnancy, and I really didn't focus on postpartum at all. So I think I was just kind of like in total shock. Like I just thought the baby was going to like sleep all the time. And like, I didn't really have any meals prepared or anything like that. So I think it's like important. It's like, I never want to scare moms by saying like, you need to prepare for postpartum, but it's like, you have to, you just don't know what you don't know. And I think I was just really like naive with that and thinking, yeah, like, oh, like I'm not going to need any help. Like I can just do it. But I think, yeah, just like kind of being humble and just like being willing to accept help. And I know that looks different for people now with like the pandemic and stuff, but you touched on this a little bit, but what, like how is postpartum going this time and like compared to last time? And like, what did you learn last time, I guess, that you were able to better prepare for this time?
Yeah. So I think I personally, and I'm super grateful for this, but I had a really good first postpartum experience in the sense that, I mean, I had my moments for sure, but I didn't get deep into any postpartum depression or anxiety. I think because I did have so much support, you know, I had those over emotional moments and those overwhelming, like, you know, those feelings at the end of the day of like, how did this day just happen? And like, how is it 8 PM and do I go to bed or do I spend time with my husband, who I like haven't paid attention to all day, you know, like,
yeah.
I think that is so overwhelming the first time. I remember like being emotional that like I hadn't pet my dogs or given them attention in a week because I had this newborn nursing on me, like nonstop. So I think you learn from that. The second time around, you're a little bit more prepared, I think, in general. But yeah, like you said, like so many people prepare for birth, and then it's like birth is, yes, we need a plan for it, absolutely. But postpartum is the forever, and it's yeah. you know, it's almost the more important part that gets left out.
Yeah.
So, you know, things that I did this time, like last time I had a plan in my head of like, this is what I want it to look like. Here's where I think we'll need help. Here's where what I want support. Whereas this time it was a little bit more concrete. So I knew that I was going to take the first 30 days to just have complete downtime.
Yeah.
The first time I wanted 2 weeks. This time I was like, no, I want a whole month.
Yeah.
So that was one big difference. And then for those 30 days, just being really intentional. So, I bought Valerie Lynn's Eco Postnatal Box, and that has been a game changer because it's like pampering yourself, but also like aiding in your recovery. So it's so a really cool, like 30 day, it's patterned off of like the Malaysian and the Malay, postpartum period, which they're very intentional there. So Valerie, you know, has studied the past 12 plus years postpartum care, and you know, other cultures do it a little bit better than we do in America.
Yeah. So
brought that over and kind of mixed like the Western and Eastern, you know, ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, within that every day, pretty much I'm doing some sort of herbal bath, sometimes two. I'm using like an herbal feminine wash for perineal repair and healing. Some herbal oils like massage oil, like tummy firming, like paste. It's all herbal, and then different yeah. teas. And it's just so intentional, that it's like, I truly feel like I'm taking care of myself, not yeah. just like winging it, you know? So I think that's one of the biggest differences, where it's like, I have like a full on 30 day written out plan versus just like, okay, I'm going to take 2 weeks and then things are going to be good. Cause in reality, you know, 2 weeks goes by and you're not recovered at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's one. And then secondly, just being really open with my communication with my husband, and what I need from him. So super helpful. He does all of my meals, and, he holds me accountable to my recovery stuff. You know, it's yeah. like, hey, some days I don't want to put on this mommy wrap or this paste or take yeah. this bath. And he's the one that kind of is like, hey, I steamed your herbs for you. Go take aww. A bath. I got the kids. So I think just being open in communication with like, those are the things that I need from him.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, like I have the baby, I can feed the baby, you know, things like that, but he's more taking care of me, and that's his role. And then our toddler as well. So I think those are the two main game changers this time around, is just more specific intention and giving ourselves like the full month to recover initially.
Yeah. I love like, well, so first of all, I think the Eco Postnatal Box, that's so cool. And I need to have Valerie on to talk about it, because I heard her talk about it at I attended the BirthFit, the postpartum summit last year, and I heard her talk about it. And it's just so neat because it's like a whole kit, right? And it's like every day it gives you a specific thing. So it's not like you just have all these things and you're like, what am I supposed to do? Because like, I mean, you're already busy and like things are hectic. So I think that's really neat. It makes it like very simple. And like you said, like that's like time for you. Like maybe you don't feel like, you know, doing whatever you're supposed to do, but probably once you get in to do it, it's like, those are a few minutes for you to like take some time for yourself each day to just like, yeah, take care of yourself and have a few minutes yeah. alone.
I mean, I could talk and talk about her stuff, and I wouldn't do it justice the way she does, but
yeah.
Yeah, like a 20 minute herbal bath. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to go do another bath. And then I get in there and it's like phone's off, my doors are shut. Like, and I just kind of like zone out, and it's actually so nice because yeah. like you said, it's my, like the first time in the day that I didn't have a baby on me or a right. toddler that's fighting for my attention. And, it helps a ton that you can just kind of escape. And then, you know, also that you're helping yourself heal. So it's, you know, it's a double whammy there, but I think it's so necessary. I wish every mom had access to that. And then the support to like my husband has been, and just like enforcing it almost and being like, nope, you need to go do this. Like, do you have your wrap on today? Do you have this? Have you done this? And it's like, no, but I'll go do it now.
Yeah.
So that's been awesome.
Well, and I think some simple ways probably that, you know, more people out there could make that kind of accessible is maybe they don't have access to that, her actual kit, but just the communication with your partner and saying like, I have to take like 20 minutes a day for myself, and just even writing on the calendar, like I'm going to take an Epsom salt bath, like after, you know, at this time, or like do a face mask, or just, you know, anything, like take a shower and then like put body lotion on, because I mean, I hate putting lotion on after a shower. It like takes 2 minutes and it just seems like a hassle, but like, you know, just little simple things like that to just kind of take care and like pamper yourself and to like reconnect with your body, like touching your own body. And I feel like it's kind of a good lead in. Will you talk a little bit about the Birth Fit, like laying in program? Because I know that like this is something that you're very passionate about, is like allowing your time, your body, like that time to heal postpartum. And I think so many of us are just like, go, go, go. And we like, we feel good. So we just like want to get back into it. And I see so many people that are like a week postpartum and they're like at the gym or lifting weights because they just, you know, they're used to moving and that's like how they normally take care of themselves. So yeah. Can you talk about why it's important kind of to slow down? And like, I know you always say like slow is fast, and kind of like what you mean by that. And then about the laying in program.
Yeah. So, you know, in our culture, in the American culture, we live in a very fast paced society. And we, you know, there's the reality of the situation, and that, you know, most households need to live on two incomes.
Yeah.
So when you're taking, you know, the mother and the birthing person out of the equation, it's like, okay, we're already probably living off of one income for a while because we don't have great maternity leave in America. Some companies do, but very few. And compared to other countries, totally off. So, you know, we're already in that realm. So then it's like, okay, I also need support from my partner, and they can't take off of work for long because we need income. We got to put food on the table, right? So oftentimes they are sent back to work, you know, at most a week or 2 weeks. And then it's like, oh, you're at home by yourself now. And not everyone lives with family or has family nearby, things like that. So, you know, there's just this, and then on the medical side of it, it's like, hey, you know, you go in at 2 weeks, you get checked, baby gets checked, and then you go in at 6 weeks, and like, that's standard America, 6 weeks, you're cleared for sex and exercise, go on with your life.
Yeah.
And the reality is, like, we consider at Birth Fit, 6 weeks is like the very beginning of your initial, like your immediate postpartum period. Right.
Yeah.
So, and in our culture, it's like, okay, we're cleared for sex and exercise. So I can go train for my half marathon now. I can hit the gym harder, or, you know, I need to start having sex again and it should feel good. And the reality of those things is like, your body's nowhere close to being healed. It's just starting.
Yeah.
And you're not primed to be intimate yet in the sense that it's going to feel good and pleasurable. It's more of like a reintroduction period. And maybe you're not even ready for that yet, right? You've just gone through this traumatic birth, both physically and emotionally. And so we're set up for failure here. And that's why our maternal mortality rate is so high, is we lose women in that postpartum period. And so, one thing that we are really passionate about in Birth It is, and kind of what Valerie was doing with like the recovery side, is, hey, we get it. Like, we're not like Eastern cultures where we can take a whole year and our tribe just, you know, pampers us and takes care of us. But there are some things that we can do. And our thought at Birth Fit was like, hey, we might not get 3 months or 6 months or a year, but like, what if we could get people to take just 30 days? Even if they have to go back to work, like, what's a simple approach that we could take to get people to understand that these first 30 days are so crucial for their bonding with baby, for their nursing, for their healing, like all of those wonderful things. So we developed a lying in program, and basically it can be started depending on your birth up to 24 hours after birth. So it gives you something to do each day that's intentional.
Yeah.
But it revolves around, kind of like you said, getting back into your body, getting to know your body again. So abdominal massage, breath work, just breathing, you know, everything's moving, shifting, getting the diaphragm working again, the pelvic floor, and just giving intention. It's like, hey, here's something to do each day to like get the sir craziness out, but it's intentional and it's going to set you up for the next step, which is rehab after 30 days. So it gets people, it buys us a little bit more time to slow down and be intentional with ourselves versus feeling like I've got to get back. I've got to go to work. I've got to, you know, get back in the gym, all of those things.
Yeah. I love that. And the best thing is that's a free program, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lying-in program.
Subscribes, I think, via like going to the Birth It site. I think if you subscribe, it sends to you, or you can go online to the programs and it's in the, the postpartum programs.
Perfect.
But yeah, in a perfect world, we have everyone take 30 days of just a lying-in period.
Yeah. I love that. It's so important. And I think it's something that just isn't talked about enough. And like you were saying, I mean, I didn't even have a 2-week appointment. Like I had my 1 6-week appointment and then that's like, it's just like, okay, see ya. And I feel like we talk about this, like, you know, if you had any other kind of surgery or something, like you would have rehab and, you know, all these things. And it's like, you just had a baby and they're just like, you just walk out the door, like see you in a year, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. So
we always talk about that, or we relay it to like an ACL surgery. It's like you have a 2-inch scar on your knee, 3-inch scar on your knee. But after you have that surgery, like, you know, everything down to a T for like 6 months of what you're doing. Like you're starting to move at this point and then you're going to rehab at this point. And then like no one gets out of ACL surgery and 2 weeks later is like, so can I start running or can I go back to the gym? Right.
Right.
Like we have this very structured protocol and there is no recovery protocol for childbirth or cesarean birth in America.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we do with Birth Fit is like, that's, you know, it's unacceptable that we don't have something a little bit more intentional for women. And that's why, like, we consider that lying in period, like that's just step one. And then, you know, we have a rehab program for the next 30 days and that's just your initial rehab. And then we have like building the foundation, a 12-week program for the next 3 months. So ideally someone could follow that and be 5 to 6 months postpartum. And that timeline of healing is going long-term to serve you so much more than just at 6 weeks hopping back in.
Yeah, totally. And I think that like what you said about like if you had an ACL surgery or something, I think you told me this analogy and I think Dr. Weiner told it to me as well. Like we don't see like, I mean, if someone had a cesarean birth, like they, you do see some like on the outside, you would see that you have, you know, a wound and stitches. But when you have a vaginal birth, I mean, you don't really see anything, but I think you told me this, that like, if you think about it, like the placenta is like the size, like of a dinner plate. And if you think that you have, like you have a dinner plate size wound, like on the inside of your body, if you could see that on the outside, you would think in your head, like, oh, I probably need to like slow down and give myself some time to rest. But it's like that you don't see it. So it's not there kind of thing.
Yeah. And to like, we feel and we look more healed externally than in reality what we are internally. And I think it's, you know, don't quote me on this, but I think on average, it takes about 280 days for tissue to heal and repair. And if you think about it, like that's almost the time that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So kind of one of the general rules of thumb that we talk about in Birth Fit when people are like, how soon can I do this? Or how soon can I do that? I mean, everybody's recovery is their own, you know, their own timeline. Mm-hmm. Like not every, there's no standard, like, hey, everyone gives birth and they're healed by 6 months.
Yeah.
So in general, we say like your immediate healing timeline, is really, you know, the amount of time that you are pregnant. And so we consider loss in that as well. It's like, hey, maybe you were pregnant 6 weeks, maybe you were pregnant 12 weeks, maybe you went full term. Regardless, the length of time that you were pregnant, we're going to honor that and recover for the same amount of time. And it can be progressive and you can build on it, but just like it didn't happen overnight. Yeah. And so we can't expect to recover overnight. And that's, you know, emotionally as well. Like we just go through so much in that first year. So I think that whole first year, almost postpartum, it's like, even though you're feeling good, maybe externally, yeah. internally, you know, things are still healing emotionally. You're still, you know, processing. And I think if we can be a little bit, or almost just have more conversation around that and give more permission to take that time, it would work wonders for, you know, postpartum depression and anxiety and things that come up, maybe not immediately, but even 6 months to a year out.
Yeah, for sure. It's so true. And it is, I think just like bringing the awareness to it. And I think we're getting there. Like, I think that people are becoming more aware and like starting to have these conversations and stuff. So I think we're headed in the right direction. And I think what BirthFit is doing and what you stand for is awesome. When you said like your first pregnancy, you planned for like 2 weeks of like recovery. And then this time you planned for like 30 days. Will you talk a little bit about like what you meant? Like when you said just like being like intentional, like aside from like doing the lane and program and the box and stuff, like what else do you kind of do? Or like, what does that mean to you to like be intentional about your healing?
Yeah. So, I mean, a few things. One is like, we know that food and nutrition is, you know, very healing. And when I say everyone's, you know, timeline is, it's not just a one size fits all. It also has to do with what is, you know, what does your nutrition look like? What about the nutrients that you're taking in and mm-hmm. things like that? So, you know, when I'm enlisting my husband who, you know, kind of does most of the cooking for us, we talk about, you know, what's going to be the best options for us, in recovery. So, you know, he is really focusing on making nutrient dense foods. Having tons of bone broths, you know, already made and frozen so that we can make soups or use it as yeah. a base. He does a lot of the grocery shopping and you know, there always is that like balance conversation. It's not to say like, hey, you have to eat perfectly to heal. Like that's not the case, but we know that like, hey, when the body doesn't have to focus on, digesting and breaking down different foods and things like that, it can actually focus on healing. So one thing that we did a little bit more intentionally in these 30 days was, we had a plan where it was like, hey, let's do mostly like broths and soups the first week and give my body the best chance to just focus on healing only. And then, you know, I did a ton of collagen and things like that additionally, but in the second week, adding like, you know, fish and chicken. And then in the third week, you know, third or fourth week, getting into like more beefs and like, I'm supplementing like organs via capsules, but
yeah,
things that are a little bit tougher to digest, like the red meats and the organ meat and things like that, like implementing that in a little bit later as well. So kind of having a plan for nutrition is a big one because, you know, once he knows what I want, he can make it and he doesn't have to bother me with it. Yeah. We did use a lot of recipes from Valerie's Eco Postnatal Cookbook. Cool. So that was really cool to just get some ideas, some inspiration. Yeah. Some other things. So chiropractic, I had my chiropractor over like the day after Ruby was born.
Yeah.
So she saw me, she saw Ruby, she saw my toddler. And then my doula. So my birth was really fast and my doula, I didn't even try to get her here because she was 2.5 hours away in another yeah. city. And we kind of knew that that was a strong possibility, but instead she came to do some postpartum work with me. So, I had Ruby on a Monday. She came on a Friday. So about 5 days and she's a chiropractor. So she did chiropractic, but we did some, vaginal steaming. She did different like belly massage, some energy work and clearing, and then chiropractic, and just kind of, even for like the day or two that she was here, she could sense like, hey, if my toddler was getting overwhelming, she would be like, hey, Kai, let's go outside and play. Or, you know, those little things where it's like, she was just here to take care of me. Like, oh, I want to come see your baby and da 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 da. Like that's fun too. But like, I'm here to take care of you. So that was really cool. That was another thing that we did a little bit different. And then lastly, like sleep is such a huge priority in our house. So the first kind of our like soft rule is the first 2 weeks, my husband gets up for all overnight diaper changes. So I will wake up and I'll feed her, but then I don't have to get out of bed. Or if I had the haka on and I want to go like store milk and go to the bathroom, like I can go do that and he can handle the diaper and then I get back in bed. So it's less up and down for me. And then after week two, I start to do it. And that gives him a little bit more sleep throughout the night so that he can wake up earlier with a toddler and I can sleep in. So kind of finding a schedule that works for us. I go to bed when I put her down, like 7:45, 8 PM. So really early, whereas he's up with our toddler and putting him to bed and cleaning the kitchen. So he's going to bed a little bit later. But finding that routine is really helpful because he's getting the sleep he needs. I'm getting the sleep and support I need. And I don't feel like I'm just drowning in all of the things. So those are kind of some of our big points in the first 30 days that I think have really helped me.
That's amazing. And I think for people who, if this is their first time, like it just gives you some ideas of things to have conversations about, because if you haven't had a baby yet, you're not even, it's like you don't know what you don't know. Like I wouldn't have even known to think about having a conversation around that, like coming up with a sleep schedule or like who's doing what and like taking care of the dog and like, yeah, who's prepping food and that kind of thing. So I think it's just really helpful that, you know, like you guys are super intentional with doing everything, like you said, like chiropractic care and all of that. And not everyone maybe is going to do that, but just having those conversations, I think, can be such a game changer for people. And like, just knowing, yeah, like, or having a friend come over to just, yeah, like take the dog out. Or if you do have another, you know, you do have another kid, like to play with your toddler for a few hours, give them a little attention, just, you know, so I think that's really helpful.
Yeah. And I think real quick, I think that like, I think typically the partner wants to know how to help, and they can feel very helpless because it's like, they're not doing much for the baby, right? Like mom has the baby, mom's feeding the baby, you know, baby wants to be on mom as much as possible. Whereas the partner is like, what can I do? Like, I can't help the baby right now. The baby wants to eat. So what do I do? And so these are simple ways to like enroll them into helping and like giving them, you know, here's very specific things like, hey, here's kind of an idea of things that I think I want to eat in the first month. Like what can you do to help prepare for that? Like whether it's freezing it, making it ahead of time, or just knowing, like picking out some recipes. And then something as little as like having that conversation of like, I feel so bad when I have to wake him up from a deep sleep to be like, can you change this diaper? But it's so helpful just to be able to like get up and go pee and get back in bed and not have to like change a diaper and have a crying baby waiting for me when I come back. So just being like, hey, for the first 2 weeks, would you be open to like helping me or supporting me here when I need it? And it's amazing how much like just something that little makes a huge deal, because when you're getting up 3 to 6 times in the middle of the night, like you don't want to get out of bed as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's just so smart to have that conversation and like set the expectation around it, because like even to this day, like my toddler doesn't sleep through the night, and it's like every night I like get up and I'm like like tossing the covers off, and then Nick wakes up and he's like, what? And I'm like, you know, huffing and puffing, and he's like, well, it's like he can't read my mind, like he doesn't know that I'm like asking him to like, and I'm not asking, I'm just like, you know, having a mini temper tantrum of my own. So it's like having that, setting that expectation before it's the middle of the night and saying like, hey, would you be able to help with this, versus waking up at 3 AM and then like freaking out because you're exhausted, as most people are. It's just, I think like just being proactive and having those conversations, like that is one thing I for sure, like, I mean, that's one thing I would do differently about my postpartum, is like, just, I mean, again, you don't know what you don't know, but if you just can prepare a little bit by talking about some of those things, I think it would be like,
yeah. And you don't want to be like resentful either to your partner. And it's like, and he always says that sometimes I'm like, I really wanted to wake you up last night. And he's like, why didn't you, you know? And I'm like, I would have felt bad. But, or sometimes, you know, honestly, you're like, I know you hear them, like, why don't you get up and do it? Right. But like, ask, he totally would.
Right.
Yeah, it's important to just be open in that communication. Like, I need to know that he's open to doing it so that when I wake him up, he's not going to be mad at me.
Right.
But he also needs to know if that's something I need. So yeah, because it is, you, like, there's multiple moments in the night where you look over and see them sleeping happily. And you're like, really? I've been sitting here for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe won't go to sleep. And it's really easy to get resentful. So yeah, that communication is key.
Definitely. Like, we were not meant to do this alone too. Like, when you were saying that, like, you, sometimes you feel bad in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, I would feel bad waking him up. And it's like, I feel like I'm the same way. Like, I felt like I was supposed to do it all. And it's like, we were never meant to do all of this alone. So yeah, it's like, you kind of have to keep yourself humble and, like, not, especially if you, like, are kind of a type A person or like a perfectionist in general, like, just, like, being open to, like, asking for help. And yeah, like, you do have to ask for it because people can't read your mind. And I think that's something I'm still learning.
Yeah. And I think it's the same as people are prepping for postpartum and you're thinking about, like, what do I need or what do I want from other people? Because people want to help.
Yes.
And they don't just want to bring you, like, a cute outfit and a blanket. Like, they want to know help you. So, you know, if they want to bring you food, like, be specific about what you want to eat. If they're going to bring you, you know, a giant Stouffer's lasagna, that's just going to go, you know, into the trash because you don't want it. It's like that they don't want that either. Right. Like, so I think being very clear, what I always suggest with my doula clients is, like, almost printing a piece of paper out and putting it on the front door. And having, like, expectations of, like, hey, just had a baby. Don't stay for longer than 15 minutes unless invited. And then, like, here's a list of things that would be helpful today. And it could be vacuuming. It could be clean my kitchen. It could be cooking. It could be clean my toilet, hold my baby, but almost setting that expectation. So when they come to knock on your door, they're like, oh, we're here for mom. Like, it might be convenient. If it is convenient for us to hold the baby, great. But, like, that whole period where visitors want to come, I know they're so excited to see the baby, but mom is the priority. And so almost just setting that expectation before they come of, like, here are the things that I need first. And then if the baby's awake and happy and I need support, like, happy for you to hold her or him. And I think that is a game changer, because I think another reason we get so bogged down postpartum is we get overwhelmed and you get visitors and you need to nurse, but you're not comfortable nursing in front of them, or they overstay their welcome, or they just bother you. Right. And, like, you're like, I just need time and space, and I don't want people telling me what to do with this newborn or what my house, like, you know, you just get a lot of unsolicited advice. So I think it's so important to just be very clear with your needs and set those boundaries. I always say, like, have tough conversations by, like, 37 weeks pregnant, get them out of the way. And then that way, when baby's here, you don't have to think about those things.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I think those are some really good ideas of simple ways that people can help. And I'm even thinking, like, right now, if, you know, you are having a baby in this time period and you're not comfortable with visitors inside your house, like, ask people, you know, people can pick up groceries for you and deliver them. They could, you know, you could, if you have a fenced in yard and you have a pet, like, they could go around the outside and, like, toss a ball to your dog for a little bit or something. There's lots of ways, like, to get creative with how people can help. They can drop a meal off on the doorstep and, you know, lots of ways that people can support you. Cause I feel like I hear that so much. And, I don't mean to be dismissive. Like, it is a very hard time to have a baby, but, you know, just try to be creative about some ways that people can support you, even if they can't, you know, come inside or you're not comfortable with them coming in.
Totally. So. Yeah.
But okay, well, Leah, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for taking this time to talk with us. It was so fun to see you and see Ruby. And is there anything else that you, well, like, where can people find you and like, what other kinds of things? I'm sure you're taking some time off from, like, your small group coaching that you usually do, but.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, Leah_Barto, or just follow BirthFit. It's a little bit easier. We have online prenatal and postpartum programming, working out, rehab, all of those things. So I do a prenatal small group where we talk all things fitness, core, pelvic floor, but also mindset around birth, preparing for birth. And like we've talked about today, also preparing for postpartum. So we do small groups. I do them every other-ish month. So yeah, we'll have another one, I believe, in May. So if you're pregnant or soon to be, would love to have you. But yeah, find BirthFit. Look us up. Like we said, we get the free lying in program for anyone postpartum. And then you can also look up Valerie Lynn and her eco postnatal box. And, you know, I think if you're looking for a gift to give someone, yeah, or if you're thinking about things to put on your registry, those are great things, because if, you know, if you have it, you'll use it. But if you wait until you're, you know, fresh, have a baby, then you're probably not going to order it. So kind, yeah, of getting that ahead of time, planning, and setting yourself up for success there.
That's a great idea. I'll link to all of those. So, well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
You've been listening to Mom Friends. Tune in weekly for new episodes and interviews with us. You can subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss an episode. And please leave us a rating and review. Find Rachel on Instagram at Hey Sleepy Baby and Kara Ann at Bloom Baby Wellness.